rather than concentrate on national parks, which a lot of people are familiar with already, we thought, why not do all of the great parks in North America? State parks, provincial parks in Canada, great city parks, national forests, and even a couple of wildlife reserves.
That's Joe Yogerst, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Joe Yogerst has been an editor, writer, and photographer for three decades. His writing has appeared in many publications, including National Geographic Traveler, Condé Nast Traveler, CNN Travel, The Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, and 33 National Geographic books. He joins us to talk about his latest book with National Geographic, 100 Parks, 5,000 Ideas. Joe, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You've written a previous book, 50 States, 5,000 Ideas, which was a bestseller. Does this new book follow a similar format?
It follows a similar format, but it's a little bit different, obviously, because it's about specific places rather than whole states or provinces. Some of the feedback we got on 50 States was there wasn't enough detail, which was really never our intention because it's an ideas book. But a lot of people said, we'd really like to find out more. So this time we decided to give them more on 100 specific places. In some cases, probably people want more again, and I would always recommend to use this as a way to determine what parks you might want to go to and the general things that you can do in those parks. But once you decide and are actually going to go to these places, do more research online because most of these parks have great websites, or go out and buy specific guidebooks for that state or that region or that park.
Tell us about this new book, 100 Parks, 5,000 Ideas. What are readers going to find here?
Well, they're going to find a wide variety of parks in the U.S. and Canada. National Geographic is famous for its National Park books, which it's been producing for 30, 40, 50 years now. And this time we just decided to do something different. Rather than concentrate on national parks, which a lot of people are familiar with already, we thought, why not do all of the great parks in North America? State parks, provincial parks in Canada, great city parks, national forests, and even a couple of wildlife reserves. And so we had to narrow it down. We did a couple of short lists and finally got it down to 100. And I wouldn't necessarily say that they're 100 best parks in Canada and the U.S., but there are 100 parks that represent the great variety of experiences and adventures that you can have in parks.
So how did you go about researching the book?
Well, I went to as many as possible, especially the ones that I had not been to before. I read a lot of books, did a lot of online research, talked to people on the phone, did emailing to park rangers and people like that. And that's kind of how I did it. Nothing beats going there on your own, of course. It wasn't possible to go to all 100 for this book, but I had already been to a lot through the course of my life and through other National Geographic projects over the last 20 years. So at the end, I was able to visit all these places in one form or another. And that's what most of the research came from, was my personal experience.
So how is this book organized, and how do you envision people using it?
Well, it's organized by region. So if you want to go on vacation to a specific region, or you live in a specific region, it's very easy to find the parks in that area. The Pacific Coast, the Northwest, Canada, Rocky Mountains, Midwest, the South, Northeast, Mid-Atlantic. And then we did another one that's not so regional-based. It's more climate-based, which is tropical parks, which takes in South Florida, Hawaii, American Samoa, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. So it's really based on what region you live in or where you want to vacation and what parks are available in those areas. And then we have a couple of smaller sections in between that deal specifically with themes like the best beaches or the best national park lodges, the best winter sports parks, and things like that.
Well, we obviously don't have time to talk about all of the parks in this book. What were some of your favorites?
Well, two of my favorites are the ones that I've been going to the longest, which are Yosemite National Park in California and the Grand Canyon in Arizona. I've been going to both since I was a little kid, thanks to my parents. Continued to go through college and as a young adult. And when I started having my own kids, took them to both of these parks multiple times. And they're parks where I've done a lot of different activities and had a lot of adventures, and that I've seen in absolutely every season, including the summer and the fall and the winter and snow. So I would say between Grand Canyon and Yosemite is probably, historically speaking, my two favorites. But in going to a new park, it kind of automatically becomes my favorite, and it stays that way until I go to another new park, I find. So I had a lot of love affairs with different parks in the course of researching this book.
As you mentioned, there's lots of good information you can get ahead of a visit when you're going to a park. And there is value to plan some things out, but I would think that also it's important to leave some room for serendipity.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I always do that. When I go to a park, I kind of have a rough idea what I'm going to do in a given day. But it's just a rough idea that I kind of had to have to, you know, I have the outline, but then I have to fill it in. I always start with the visitor center at a park, whether it's a state park or a wildlife refuge or a national park, and try to ask the people behind the desk, what's a little different, or weather-wise, what can I do today and not do today? And I always pick up maps, of course. And I look for places that are a little off the beaten track, especially in the big parks, the Yellowstones of the world, because the places that are famous are going to be crowded. And you can have a similar experience or even better experience if you take the road or the trail that's a little bit less traveled than the famous places.
So are there a couple sort of hidden gems you could point us to that maybe that aren't the big tourist attractions that people are missing and you would like them to discover?
Wow, that's a good question. The Alaska parks, but they tend to be far away and you've got to fly a long ways to get there. Everyone knows Denali because it's the highest mountain in North America and it's famous from movies and books and things like that. But one of my favorite parks is Wrangell St. Elias, which is a massive park in southeast Alaska. And it's the largest national park in the United States. It's one of the wildest. And it has a great variety of really adventurous things you can do, from sea kayaking past icebergs to encounters with grizzly bears, whitewater rafting, mountain climbing, bush pilot explorations, a lot of amazing backpacking in the bush. So I think Wrangell St. Elias is one that's not necessarily known. A lot of Americans don't know about the great Canadian parks. They may know about Banff and Jasper, but they don't necessarily know about Cape Breton Highlands in Nova Scotia, or Wood Buffalo National Park in northern Alberta, or Pacific Rim Park, which is along the Pacific coast of British Columbia. So I think the Canadian parks are largely undiscovered by both Canadians and Americans. Some of the national forests people don't necessarily know about. Sawtooth and Salmon National Forest in Idaho, White River National Forest in Colorado, places like that are really amazing assets. And it kind of goes on and on. A lot of them are kind of under-visited compared to the big parks. I think the Caribbean parks, Virgin Islands National Park, El Yunque National Forest in Puerto Rico are underappreciated and undervisited. Voyageurs and Boundary Waters and Ile Royale, which are in northern Minnesota and northern Michigan, great wilderness parks that are in the middle of the country that not a lot of people know about.
Well, Joe, of course, there's this book now, but I understand you're working on a video series about America's state parks. Tell us about that.
Well, in the same vein, National Geographic had done a lot of video and television on national parks. And they decided that the people had a big interest in state parks, too, so why don't we try doing that? And so they asked me if I was interested in doing it. And I said that, yeah, sure, I can do that. I can write it. And they said, no, we want you to host it, too. So I, in addition to writing the 24 episodes, I am hosting and narrating the 24 episodes, which is the first time I've done that. And it's a joint venture with Great Courses, and we're filming in April and May. I have three more episodes to write, and it will be out at the end of this year on their streaming service. And it will deal with around 100 state parks, too. Like I said, 24 episodes, but only four of them are on specific state parks. The others deal with groups of state parks, clusters of state parks in particular areas. Like we're doing one called Land of Lincoln about state parks in Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky that have a connection with Abraham Lincoln. We're doing another one that's basically a journey down the Mississippi River from Minnesota to Louisiana, stopping at Riverside State Parks along the way. So that's the State Park series that's coming out later this year.
Joe, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Joe Yogerst's latest book is 100 Parks, 5,000 Ideas. It's published by National Geographic. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. On Facebook, you'll find us at KPR Conversations. That's all one word. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. And you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.